So I grew up a gliding kid, and basically I was the daughter of two parents who were nuts about flying. Like, absolutely. It was every waking moment for my dad, and at that time it was almost every waking moment for my mum. They met on the airfield. When they wanted to get married, they would really have loved to have got married in the air, but they couldn't find a priest who was willing to go up and fly with them, so they had to stick on the ground. We spent probably for the first 14 years of my life, I spent every summer holiday camping on dusty, dry, barren aerodromes. Often they were former Royal Australian Air Force bases. So they're in the middle of nowhere, and we had to travel very, very vast distances to get to them. So one of my most memorable summer holidays was when I was 10. It's the summer of 1978. And Dad hitched his 22-foot glider trailer to the back of our brown Holden Kingswood and set off from Melbourne across the whole southern part of Australia. Mum, my sister, who was 2 years younger than me, and I decided to catch the bus instead, I think mainly because it had air conditioning. And we all rendezvoused in Perth just before Christmas. And then we backtracked about 200 kilometres to a town called Narrogin, a former mining town in the middle of the Western Australian desert, where the gliding competition was taking place that year. Now, for those of you not familiar with gliding, I'm not talking about hang gliding where you jump off a cliff or that sort of thing. They look like birds. They're big planes. They are towed up by what we call tugs, which are often decommissioned crop dusters or little single-engine passenger planes like Cessnas. And the tug will tow the glider up into the air to roughly about 500 feet, at least 500 feet, and then the glider pilot will give the nod to the using a radio to the pilot that he's about to release. And off he goes in one direction, and the tug goes off in another with the tow rope trailing behind him. And then the job of the glider pilot is to find lift. And basically, gliding works in the same way that birds fly. So they look for currents of warm air that are coming up from the earth, also called thermals. And they're just hopping from one thermal to the next. And the higher they can get, the longer the distances between thermals. And in the gliding competitions, it's really quite extraordinary. They travelled up to 500 or 600 kilometres a day. And they used to fly triangular routes. So they'd start at the aerodrome, up they'd go. They'd go off to the first, what was called the turn point, and they'd have to photograph a landmark below, like a wheat silo. Take the photo, off to the second turn point, such as a bend in a river, take a photo, and then back to the finish line. And the pilot who got around that course fastest that day was the winner that day, and the competition took place over about 2 or 3 weeks with a few rest days in between, and the winner was the one with the shortest times each day. As you can imagine, that was kept my parents pretty occupied. And as a kid, as a gliding kid, myself, my sister, and all the other tribe of gliding kids that used to hang out on these dusty aerodromes, we often didn't see our parents. We might have seen them at breakfast, and then we often didn't see them until dinner, if we were lucky. Sometimes we didn't see them until the next day because we were off to bed before they came back. Because often those gliders didn't find enough thermals and they'd have to land out and someone would have to go and retrieve them, and that could be a couple of hundred kilometres away. So we're talking these vast, vast distances in Australia. Now, one day the mercury hit 50 degrees. It was called a rest day because it was just too hot for everyone to fly. The air conditioners broke down and we couldn't use them, so my mum wet all these towels and hung them in the doorway and put fans behind them to try and cool us down. But the best thing for a gliding kid was that that day the freezer broke down as well. And so me, my sister, and everyone else had to eat all the ice cream in the freezer, which was fantastic. And then a couple of days later, Mum and Dad went off. They were going to a normal flying day until this emergency report came in that a dust storm was heading towards us. So all of a sudden, all the adults scurried away trying to lock down the gliders to make sure they weren't damaged, to pack them up if they could, to protect, you know, sort of sort everything out on the airfield. No one thought anything about the tents. They sort of just blew away. As a kid, we were told to stay inside the hangar, and we're standing in the doorway and out on the horizon. Normally in a desert, you can just see a mirage of, you know, the little wiggle of hot air on the horizon. This time all we could see was like this big, thick cloud, a bit coffee-coloured, rusty-coloured thing coming towards us. And it seemed to take ages to come towards us. And then finally it was there and it was a whirlwind and there was all this noise and banging and crashing, and a big PA system that was like at least maybe 20 foot in the air came crashing down onto the ground. And I'm standing in the door like, where are Mum and Dad? Where are Mum and Dad? I don't know how long it lasted. It felt like it lasted an eternity for a 10-year-old. But finally the storm passed, and out of the dust came my Mum and Dad, covered in dirt, quite a different colour from what they normally were. Lips parched, they hadn't had any water, they'd been out there for hours and hours trying to protect their beloved gliders. But they came back through the dust and they were okay. Now, it might surprise you to know that it wasn't until I was 30 years old, almost two decades later, that I finally asked my dad to take me up for a fly in the glider. But I did go up and really, really enjoyed it, and found out then at the age of 30 why he loved it so much. So thank you very much. Cheers.